We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're joined by a very special guest, the great Matt Hicks of the Texas Rangers Radio Network, here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Hicksie, how you doing? I'm so excited to hear your voice.
Zach, it's great to hear your voice. I'm doing great. Chilling here at home and, excited to be talking to you guys.
Well, Hicksie, as Jared is just remaining extremely quiet, which is rare. I don't think that I've ever heard him not jump in like that and quickly ask a follow-up question. I'm sure he's got something prepped, but I will ask you today. It was announced that the TV and radio crews of Major League Baseball have been told that they will be doing all 2020 road games from a local broadcast studio or the home ballpark with monitors as their guide. When did you hear this news, and how do you feel about that? Or does that make you feel more comfortable, or would you rather still be able to be given the opportunity to travel with the team?
Well, I think, one of the things that as broadcasters, that one of the reasons why we're in this business is to be with the team, to be able to talk with players, coaches, managers, people involved in the game, to be around the game, because it's part of the preparation process, and you learn quite a bit when you're actually there. And it goes back to, I think for all of us, it goes back to our childhood, growing up, and we were kids and we wanted to be at the baseball game. We wanted to be at the basketball game. We wanted to go to the football game. And being in that atmosphere and being at the event was what drew you in the first place, to be excited about it. And so I think that all of us would much rather be traveling with the team and be at the location. Now, given all of the issues that are at hand here dealing with the coronavirus, I think everybody understands that in order for us to play a season this year, among many other things that need to happen, is that everyone's safety needs to be taken into consideration first. So, this is something that's been talked about. I don't know exactly when. I don't remember if it was a phone conversation or a text. I think I was in the office just a couple of weeks ago, and John Blake, our vice president of communications, kind of confirmed that, yeah, if we have a season, this is the way that it's most likely going to be. Now, I don't think all of the details have been worked out yet, but, there was, a lot of stuff that was being discussed, because there's so much that has to be discussed about, how is Major League Baseball going to pull this off? How are we actually going to have a partial season? So, what we know now is that it's almost guaranteed that for road games that we're going to be in our booth at Globe Life Field, and we're going to be working off of a TV monitor. Now, the ins and outs and particulars of that, exactly how the booth is going to be set up both for home games and road games, what equipment, if any, that we don't normally have that will be used, I haven't had a conversation yet with Ted Nichols Payne, how any of this is going to play out in terms of, technically, will there be, if we don't have any fans, will there be fan noise? How the kind of feed we're going to see. Are we going to see a feed that has information on it? Are we going to see a feed that would be seen in a TV truck that has zero graphics and information on it? We don't know any of that yet. But we do know that we're going to be sitting in a booth in a very empty stadium trying to decipher what we're seeing on a television screen.
Hixie, I miss you.
Yeah, I miss you too, bud. Hey, have you gotten your hair cut yet at all? Or are you just like still wild man in the hair department?
He's cavemaning it right now, Hixie. I'm zooming with him as we speak, and it is wild.
I get it home, and then I go to the ballpark, 7 months out of the year, and I get it from Matt and Eric. I don't get a break. Right? I thought once I got married, they'd give me a break, knowing what I have to go through. Nana says hi, by the way, Matt. I don't want to get in trouble without.
Oh well, that's great. Say hi to Nana for me.
I want to quickly switch gears because I'd like to congratulate you, Matt, because you now officially, by extension, are a part of the Trojan family.
I am.
There you go. Let's play that fight song.
Do we have a commitment? Has your son committed?
Are we doing fight on here?
We are.
I've got the two fingers going.
All right.
By the way, Cynthia, and yes, Zach, to answer your question, it's definitely official. The beginnings of money have already been sent to USC.
Hey, let me tell you, Matt, it's the beginning of a long, long journey there.
I'm definitely aware of that. There's no question about that. We actually, received new, and a lot of these schools are trying to decide whether they're going to do. Some schools have announced, some haven't. We just found out that USC is, in fact, planning on opening its campus early in the fall and closing early as well. So that's set in motion a number of things. But thank you for welcoming me to the Trojan family. It's definitely an exciting time in our son's life and in our lives as well.
Well, I'm proud of Nathaniel. He's a really good kid.
Yeah, congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's in all seriousness, it is really cool. And I will say this, Matt and I, usually playfully, oftentimes intentionally, if I say left, he'll say right. Usually it's more if he says left, I say right. But he's always been on board with USC, and not a lot of people are. And so I appreciate that. So I feel like it's not going to be tough to indoctrinate him.
Okay, well, a couple of things here. Number one, I'll just say this, as our son was considering various college options, he did take into account, who's got the best fight song? And he determined far and away that USC had the best fight song. So I think that was a determining factor. And for many, many years, I've said that USC has the best college football uniform, hands down, the road white USC college uniform. So those were two solidifying factors in him picking that institution. But in addition to that, and I don't know if I ever told you this story, Jared, but many, many years ago, as Jared is often wont to express on our broadcast, when I was in high school.
In the 20s.
Yeah, I went to high school in the East Coast in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. And so when I was considering college choices, and I didn't really have all that much in the way of options, our family, we were poor. I got stuff from a variety of schools on the East Coast, but the farthest west that I got anything from was a school in Ohio. However, I did during late in my junior year, early my senior year in college, I got material sent to me from USC. So outside of that school in Ohio, the only thing I got west of that was from USC, and I was intrigued by it because obviously, I didn't know much about the school other than what I saw on television in the way of USC football. And I thought it was interesting that somehow they got my information and they sent me all this stuff. And, of course, I looked at it. And even back in the 70s, not the 20s, but the 70s, attending USC was going to be an expense that my parents couldn't afford. So I didn't even talk about it with my parents or my guidance counselor or anything like that. But I was just intrigued that was the only school that sent me stuff from west of the Mississippi, heck, from west of Ohio. So now, you advance some 40 some odd years later and here our son's deciding to go there. So
how about that?
Kind of neat.
Yeah, that is. That absolutely is neat. Now, Matt Hicks, of course, joining us on your home at Texas Rangers Baseball 105.3 The Fan. You know the voice. You've missed the voice. You're always great at putting into perspective and kind of sharing things with us in more of a sensible way. And I think it's tough for a lot of people to kind of understand what is going on with Major League Baseball and the players not agreeing and the Players Association and the owners. And you had the 114-game format that was rejected. I know you've had to be following what is going on. So what's kind of your take on everything and what's your gut feeling on? Do you think we're going to get baseball in 2020?
Well, I don't know how we're going to get there. My gut says we are going to get there. And I don't know if it's going to be 50 games or 82 games or 114 games. If it's going to be 114, the two sides need to come to an agreement really quickly. Like in the next few days, I would think. But, you know, the one thing I guess that stands out to me, and it's not just this negotiation going on right now, but it's negotiations that have gone on in the past between the owners and the players. And I think it's probably far reaching in our society as well. People feel the need to take a side and say, okay, I'm on the player side or I'm on the owner's side. And I think clearly when in a situation like this, where both sides have been forced into this crucible of trying to make something happen in a situation that has really never existed before, and with the outside pressures of we want baseball probably being a little bit greater than the concern of how do we do this in the midst of a novel virus, there's so much that needs to be discussed and so little time to properly discuss all of these issues that I think you can take a look and see with what the players are wanting and to not have, you know, their salaries cut any further. And what the owners are wanting, yes, obviously they want to have, I think, some kind of a season so that there can be some kind of income. That you can take a look at both sides of this and say that there are legitimate reasons why the owners are where they are and why the players are where they are. But then if you're a fan, and you know, most fans, when you're looking at this, and what so many fans have been impacted by because of the virus, because there have been people that are either taking a reduced amount of pay or have been fired or been laid off or have been furloughed, there's so many people dealing with so many real-life issues that to hear in terms of something that is so very far away from them, a player who makes $5 million a year and an owner who has assets of $5 billion, people can't relate to that. And so I think it's common for people to just kind of throw their hands up in the air and why can't they get this done without really understanding the details of what's going on. So I don't know how we're going to get there. You know, there's a big part of me that would just like to I think about this because my father-in-law for many years was a labor union negotiator and would negotiate with television networks. And he would often say that there would be these meetings where you would have 8 or 10 people on one side of the table and 8 or 10 people on the other side. And he would often say to us, you know, I wish it would just be me on one side and one guy on the other side, and we could get this thing done. And I think probably, and I don't know how when they get together how they do this, but I think if you were to just have 1 or 2 people on each side, that you could probably move a lot quicker than however many people have their, straw in the drink in this whole thing. I really do think something is going to get done. And I hope it's done without the level of acrimony that we've seen to this point.
Hixie, I want to ask you kind of veer in a different direction. This Saturday for our Rangers replay game of the week, we are re-airing Nolan Ryan's 6th no-hitter. And, you know, I think a lot of our listeners are maybe like me where, you know, my Nolan Ryan memories are, highlights and replays and stories, but I really wasn't old enough to ever remember Nolan as an active player. You had the distinct opportunity to really work with and for Nolan when you were coming up through the minor leagues. A lot of people know that, you know, Nolan has been involved not just at the major league level with franchises, but at the minor league level. And I'm just curious, just on a personal level, what stood out to you about Nolan Ryan, the man?
Okay, so one of the things that I think is great about Nolan, when I worked for the ball club in Corpus Christi and his group, the Ryan Sanders group, owned the club, was you felt like you were working for family. And he had that, and he was not a day-to-day guy. He was not there all the time. In fact, you know, he would come maybe a few times in the off season. He would be there for a handful of games during the season. But it was just the culture that was set in working in that office that you felt like you were working with people that were your family, and you really felt like the people you were working for cared about you. And I think that all starts with Nolan. That's the kind of man that he is. And I think to a certain extent, and of course when I got hired by the Rangers, Nolan was, you know, president of the ball club at the time, I think that was a feeling that kind of pervaded the Rangers front office as well. But you know, when I was growing up, I had a chance to see Nolan on TV. I think maybe only once did I have the opportunity to see him pitch in person, and it was so long ago, I don't even recall what the result of the game was or what, if anything, stood out about him. But let me tell you a little story, if I have the time, about Nolan the man and Nolan the person and Nolan the baseball competitor. When we were in Corpus, one of the things that we did on one occasion, and at the time, I want to say Nolan was probably about 59, 60 years old, is we invited our 20 top advertisers. They could send one person from each of these corporations or groups of sponsors, whatever they were, to come take batting practice against Nolan at the ballpark, at Whataburger Field in Corpus Christi. And so I was a part of the group of people that helped to set it up and get the people lined up and whatnot and the whole deal. So we're getting ready to do this, and we had a cage set up. And you know, and these men, and most of these men, as you can imagine, with, you know, major corporate sponsors, you know, guys that are in their 50s mainly, maybe some guys in their 60s, a few guys in their 40s. This was a thrill of a lifetime to be able to step in a cage and swing the bat against Nolan Ryan. Well, again, Nolan's 59, 60 years old. And he's out there just warming up a little bit, you know. So he gets loose, and he feels like he's ready to go pitch to these corporate sponsors. So they step into the cage one by one. And, of course, these men that are 50 and 60 all of a sudden become nine-year-old kids again. And the smiles on their faces, and they can't believe they're stepping in the cage against Nolan Ryan. And so Nolan's throwing him in there, but he's, you know, he's kind of lobbing him in, just throwing it over the plate, seeing if they can hit it. But he's Nolan Ryan. He's not throwing a ball like you or I would. Well, I don't know. Jared can throw the ball pretty hard, but you know, if I'm throwing a baseball for batting practice, I'm throwing it like 40 miles an hour. It's Nolan. So he's throwing 50, 60, whatever. And most of these guys are not even touching him. They're barely fouling balls off. Some, they get a little squib that might roll out near the mound. Well, at one point, there's a guy who steps into the cage, and he's probably 46, 47, and I knew that he had played baseball at Texas A&M. He was a former college baseball player. Clearly, his skills have diminished, but he steps into the cage, and Nolan, you know, is just throwing him in there, and he starts hitting some line drives with some authority. You could watch Nolan and see the competitor come out in him. Now, we're thanking all of these people for spending money with us. This guy's starting to get line drives off of Nolan, and the competitor just comes out. So he starts throwing the ball a little harder and harder. Well, you know, Jared, you've stood around enough cages to know and kind of have a feel for what sort of velocity a guy is throwing, even in BP. And I'm telling you, Nolan probably got up to about 80, 82. He was competing against this guy, and you could tell that the guy was excited about it because he could see Nolan wanting to compete. And it was just a really neat exchange, but it was also a window into the competitive spirit of a man who played in Major League Baseball for 27 years and did whatever he could to beat you. And the fact that at age 59 or 60, he could still throw in the 80s. Are you kidding me?
That's crazy.
That's Nolan Ryan.
Wow, what a story. Thank you so much for taking some time with us tonight, Hixie. Hopefully we can talk to you again soon, maybe get some baseball going.
Sounds good. I can't wait.
There he goes, the great Matt Hicks at Radio Hicksie on the Twitter. Always fun when we get to catch up with Matt Hicks, one of the best to do it in the business.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.